Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Here's a list of three problems we have in Boston. Number one, Massachusetts retains only about 60% of its college graduates. In other words, we have a brain drain problem. Number two, student housing is in short supply in much of the city, and that forces many students into off-campus rentals, where they're notorious for drinking, partying, and trashing what might otherwise be lovely neighborhoods. In other words, we have a neighborhood problem. Number three, the Filene's Hole is still gaping in the middle of Downtown Crossing, and the once bustling commercial heart of Boston is sputtering. So we have a downtown problem, too. These three problems might not sound related, but my next guest says he has an idea that could solve all three at once. He's Barry Bluestone, a housing economist at Northeastern University. This big idea was outlined in his latest annual Greater Boston Housing Report card, and he pitched it to the Boston City Council last week. Barry Bluestone, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Nice to be here.
Barry, we're going to go into detail soon about the impact of the students and what it does to housing and so forth. But right at the beginning, so people know what your big idea is, lay out for us in a couple of sentences the vision you have that you explained to Boston City Council last week.
Well, we've had a tremendous growth in our student population, but it's particularly been true of graduate students. And for the most part, the universities around Boston don't house their graduate students. Harvard does some, MIT does some, but for the most part, we house some of our undergraduates, but not our graduate students. We also know that, as you pointed out, that many of our graduate students come here and then they leave. Part of it is affordable housing, part of it's jobs elsewhere, but we're going to need to hold on to those folks because we're going to actually have too few young people here in 5 to 10 years because of the demographic change. So the big idea was, what could we do to house graduate students and then help keep them in Boston after they graduate? And what I laid out to the city council and what we talked about briefly in the housing report card this time around was the idea of a multi-university graduate student village, someplace near transit, where you'd get a number of universities, my own, Northeastern, BU, BC, Harvard, UMass Boston, Suffolk, Emerson together, and working with private developers, put up a large graduate student village. One possibility would be at that Filene site, near the Orange Line, near the Red Line, near the Green Line, walking distance to classes for Suffolk and Emerson kids. And then you would have apartments, some very small, some pretty plush for our wealthier graduate students. You'd also have it as a village. So it's not just apartments. It's got food. It's got all kinds of amenities. It's got common rooms. And it's also programmed with lectures and seminars. And that what we would also do is not only allow graduate students to live there when they're in school, but give them the right to stay there 3 to 5 years after they graduate.
So they're no longer officially graduate students. They're just recent grads, but they could still stay in this housing.
Young professionals doing medical, who have got medical degrees, law degrees, accountants, school teachers, you name it, all the kinds of things we're going to need.
So the vision is some big building, possibly right in Downtown Crossing. It exclusively houses graduate students. They could range from a studio apartment to a married student apartment with children, lectures, parking, everything they could need to have a nice little village living. You think it solves the problem of the hole in the ground, it solves the brain drain problem, and it solves the problem that many grad students feel like they can't afford to live in Boston.
What we want to do is have these young people put roots down in Boston and stick around here. I came here in 1971 to teach at Boston College. I told everybody back in the Midwest where I came from, don't worry, I'll be back in 2 or 3 years. 40 years later, I'm still here, and I hope I'm doing some good for the city.
So listeners, we want to know what you think about this idea that Barry Bluestone at Northeastern University has just laid out. What if, where the hole in the ground in Downtown Crossing now is, where Filene's used to be, we put up a big high-density building that housed just graduate students? They could be in a studio, in a single, a double, a triple. It could be married students with kids. There'd be supermarket, dry cleaner, drugstore, parking, garage, convenient to public transportation, some attractive place for them to live, which wouldn't be as expensive as market-rate housing. That's another piece of this, correct, Barry Bluestone?
That's right.
And that would keep them here in Boston, so we don't have that brain drain, and we have smart, educated people who stick around to fill these jobs that we may need them for in a few years.
It would actually do several good things. One, it would take a lot of pressure off the rental market, which would help people who are not students afford rents in town. And number two, it will bring those young people to a place where we want to really rebuild the city and make it a more exciting place to be.
Listeners, we want to know what you think about that. It's 1-800-423-8255. Again, 1-800-423-TALK if you want to weigh in, if you like the idea of getting the students out of your neighborhoods and into a building downtown. Again, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And, you know, Barry, I want to skip ahead to something else in your report, which was that when I first read this, I thought, well, that would just be party town in the middle of downtown Crossing. You know, you put all these students together in one building from many colleges, it could be a recipe for disaster. But you make the point that it's really often not the graduate students who are the ones that bring down neighborhoods. These are students who can be married, they're working on degrees, they may be working part-time. So is that part of what you're thinking, is there's an important distinction between undergrads and grads?
Well, there's certainly that distinction. I mean, graduate students are looking at jobs, they're pretty professional folks. I'm sure they have a good time. I did when I was a graduate student, but they're not tearing up the neighborhoods. Let's also be clear that most of our undergraduates aren't tearing up the neighborhoods either. And in many cases where our undergraduates have moved, crime rates have actually gone down. They've brought life back to the community. You know, people don't think about it, but in Boston, our students, the 336,000 undergraduate and graduates we have in Greater Boston across 79 institutions, is the largest export industry we have. They bring in more money than any other industry.
Although, to the point of impact on neighborhoods, there are certainly people in Alston, Brighton, and the Fenway, and Mission Hill, who would be glad to see the undergrads clear out of their street, move to some big building downtown, and get their neighborhoods back.
No doubt. And we still have to deal with the problem of our undergraduates. And the way you do that is we need more residence halls on campus to take care of our undergraduate
population.
Which
the schools can't build fast enough.
Correct. I mean, we've seen some real building in the last few years, BU, Northeastern. We've got a new 640 beds going up on Huntington Avenue, but we have to continue to do that.
We have a caller who wants to weigh in, and this is Jeff calling from Roslindale. And Jeff, what do you think of this idea of a giant graduate student village, possibly in a place like Downtown Crossing?
I hate it. I cannot stand the idea. I think it's exactly the wrong thing to do. I'm a former MIT student. My wife and I both went to MIT. We stayed in Boston after attending school. We now live in Roslindale. And I think one of the problems with Boston is that we continually try and corral the student part of our city into smaller and smaller and more ghettoized areas. If you look at the parts of the city that have done the best, like culturally and also to some extent financially over the last quarter century, they're the neighborhoods where lots of different types of people from lots of backgrounds are mixing up together and living together. Jamaica Plain, Roslindale, to some extent the North End and now South Boston. The success of those areas in the last couple decades are because they're becoming less single-source neighborhoods and they're becoming more mixed. And I think if you put all the students in one place in Boston together, you won't get Bostonians, you'll get college villagingans. And when they're done, they'll leave just like they leave now.
Jeff, thanks a lot for that. Let me see what Barry Bluestone has to say about that comment.
Jeff, you're absolutely right. If we put all 102,000 graduate students we now have in Downtown Crossing, we're talking about a village that might have 1,200 people out of 102,000. So they'll certainly not be taking many people away from the rest of the neighborhoods. They'll take a little of the pressure off the rental market, which is good. Rents have only fallen about 2% from their peak, despite the recession. But I don't think we would be ghettoizing Downtown Crossing, nor would be taking away the diversity of the communities all through Boston.
I should also note that you also had suggested Forest Hills as an alternative site. It's not necessarily only
Downtown
Crossing.
No, if this caught on and if this were successful and more graduate students like this and more universities and developers participate in it, you could think of 3, 4, 5 of these in different communities, including in Forest Hills, around the Forest Hill Orange Line Station. There are other places where this could be done, including some places outside of Boston itself, in Somerville and so forth.
I'm talking with Barry Bluestone, who's the director of Northeastern University's Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy, about his proposal to build a complex of student villages in the city, perhaps in a place like Downtown Crossing, perhaps at Forest Hills, as a way to give grad students less expensive housing that they could keep even after they graduate, and in the process plug the brain drain that happens when grad students get educated here and then leave the city. Barry, tell us how this would be paid for. You've said private developers could build it. It may be the schools that market it. Who pays for it, and how are we able to subsidize this living?
Well, it's not clear it would need subsidy. In fact, we have a group of people who are doing a pro forma, that is, to figure out, is this financially feasible? And particularly that's difficult when you look at the cost of that Filene's hole in the ground. It's a pretty expensive piece of real estate. But what you would see is the universities would not be responsible for owning it or paying for it. They would be responsible for marketing it, and they might even take some master leases, which might be needed for the financing of it. You know, one school saying, we will guarantee 150 beds and so forth. But developers, private developers, would put it up. It would remain on the tax rolls, which is good for the city. And you would have a range of incomes, mixed income. We have some graduate students who are not only wealthy enough to own the penthouses at the top of that building, their families from various parts of the world could probably buy the entire building. And we have other students who actually don't want more than 350 square feet, as long as there's good common space there, and that could be done as a very affordable unit.
Let me bring in a caller from Brighton, which is certainly a neighborhood impacted by students, and we'll see what this person thinks. This is Adam calling from Brighton. And Adam, what do you think of Barry Bluestone's idea about a student village somewhere like Forest Hills or Downtown Crossing?
I think it's a brilliant idea. In fact, I was just going to add that besides the brain drain, I think the other problem that Boston faces is the artist drain. I'm a musician myself, and I think a big problem with, same as losing a lot of students, are we lose a lot of artists and a lot of other musicians to the suburbs and other smaller cities. And there's actually some church property out in Oak Square that I've noticed has been abandoned for about 5 years. It's a huge area, and I thought like that would be a great place to possibly work out some kind of student housing as well. And so I just wanted I think it's an excellent idea, and I think it should be seen as a low-income idea across for many different people that are forced to leave Boston.
Thank you for that. And before I have Barry Bluestone weigh in, let me go to another caller who is a grad student, and this is Brittany calling from Cohasset. And Brittany, what do you think of this idea of a student village that could be in a place like Downtown Crossing for grad students?
I think it's a great idea. One of the problems I face as a grad student is I'm a commuter, and I spend a lot of my time either on the train or in my car, so my work becomes affected, mainly because I don't really have the time that other students who can afford to live in the city do. I currently live with my family, so it's financially easier, but if I had a place that was slightly cheaper than all the other rentals in the area, I think it would be a great help to all grad students who commute.
Brittany, thanks for that. And Barry Bluestone, could you comment on both of those, including the previous caller who talked about how artists face the same problem? And that makes me wonder, why just limit housing like this to grad students? Why not community college students who also form sort of entry-level high-tech workers in some cases? Where do we stop in terms of who we might open this up to?
I think that's a matter of discussion. I mean, I've just thrown it out an idea. I'm hoping what will happen with this idea and with your program is that more people will talk about it. Who should be in it? How long you can stay in it? What universities participate in it? But I think one of the wonderful things that Adam brings up is what I loved about the idea when I first came up with this with some friends was, wouldn't it be great to have artists living next to engineers from Northeastern, living next to musicians from Berkeley, all in the same community, and also helping to develop the community around it, all of the rest of Downtown Crossing. The second, as I said, in Brittany's point, is that it would be possible to build this in such a way that some of the units would be quite affordable and make it possible for students who have to live at home and at a distance from campus to move closer to a city.
So clarify this for us. You've said that we wouldn't necessarily have to subsidize it, and some of these could be quite market rent for graduate students who are of means. But you're also saying that in some cases this would be a better deal than grad students might get by going off into the private rental market elsewhere?
Right. If they're willing to live in a smaller unit but with great commons areas around that. We have in New York, we have all kinds of people who are paying gargantuan box for 350 to 400 square feet. But in this case, you'd also have all the amenities that you would have in a building like this available to whoever lives there.
Has this been tried anywhere else that you know of, and was it successful if it has
not
been?
Like this. One of the reasons I came up with the idea is I was a graduate student at the University of Michigan, and the University of Michigan built an entire village for graduate students, single and family graduate students, on their north campus. And it actually ended up being a great magnet for bringing graduate students who might have been looking even at Harvard or MIT, deciding to go to Michigan because they also had great housing opportunities.
We have a caller from Westford, and this is Jeff. And Jeff, what do you think of Barry Bluestone's idea of a student village where we could house grad students in Downtown Crossing or Forest Hills or elsewhere?
Yeah. Hi, first-time caller. I was just saying that I think it's a no-brainer for those who are actually graduate students or recently graduated, but I think it's also as if you're putting all your eggs in one basket.
Jeff, have we lost you? I think we've lost him.
Yeah.
He says we're putting all our eggs in one basket. He didn't get to elaborate on how he meant.
Yeah.
Has anyone raised a similar issue with you and you can complete what you think he wanted to tell us?
Our first caller, also a Jeff, said, I hated it because you'd have a
the ghettoization, exactly.
But again, we're not talking about even a small, you know, more than a small fraction of all graduate students in any one place. The idea would be to have over time such housing would be available throughout the city, throughout the region. And therefore, I don't think you'd be putting all your eggs in one basket.
This is the kind of project where it can sometimes be hard to measure whether it was financially successful. So how would you decide ultimately whether, if this happens, it's cost effective? How do we measure who we keep that might have left and if it was worth the money we spent on it?
Well, again, who's putting the money up? It's not the city. It's not the universities. It's private developers, and they're going to determine whether it's successful and whether they can make a profit on it. But in terms of the overall city, the real question will be, will we continue to see our population of young people grow? Will they stay here? Will they help staff the hospitals, the businesses, and so forth? Will businesses find this a good place to locate because they know they have a ready supply of labor? So there are many ways to measure the long-term success of such a project.
Barry, in the very brief time we have left, I just want to read you a tweet we got from a listener named Mark Jackwith, and he says, sounds like a subsidy for the folks who need it least. What about workers, poor folks, elderly?
Well, the main point is that we need housing for everybody. My first reason for coming up with this idea is that I have bemoaned the fact that rents are so high. This will help bring rents down for everybody.
If we can get the students out of the private rental market where four kids can spend $2,000, $3,000 on a four-bedroom, it might help.
Exactly.
Barry Bluestone, thank you very much for coming to the studio. Barry Bluestone is director of Northeastern University's Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy. He's been talking about his proposal to build a student village in the city so we can stop the so-called brain drain of grad students. Up next, some Boston trivia. Can you beat the Jeopardy College champion? We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. And thanks again, Barry.